Thanks for tuning in to the Animal Control Report podcast, where we help debunk the dog catcher stereotype. A lot of times people think it's a dog catcher when they hear about animal control officers. But here on the Animal Control Report, we change that by taking you inside the day-to-day operations of animal control officers. Not only will you hear stories of animal control officers, but you'll hear from industry experts as well. We are also part of the Keep It Humane podcast network. We have some amazing partners there, so check them out at keepithumane.com/podcast network. You can listen to all the animal control and animal welfare related podcast there. And let's continue to help people help animals. Welcome to the Animal Control Report. This is a special edition of Animal Control Officer Appreciation Week. And we're excited to have Dustin, don't call me Justin, joining us live from good old Alabama. What's going on, Dustin?
Not a lot, man. Just Dustin, living the life, you know?
Dustin and I have had the pleasure of hanging out a few different times. Dustin is someone I consider a friend. So when you get to interview friends, it's a lot more fun. That's not nice to the people that aren't my friends. It's just fun. It's different. You know, we've been to Nashville, you know what I mean? We've done some stuff in Texas. So it's been fun. How was life, man?
Life's great, man. Just recovering from Easter. It was a very busy weekend with a feral toddler.
I could imagine. So the listeners, really, all they care about, they don't care about our friendship. They want to know, like, how long you've been to ACO, how did you get into the job, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, well, I started my career roughly 16 years ago. I actually worked in corrections. I worked in the jail as a CO. And there was a gentleman that done the job. His name was Larry Martin. Larry actually passed away in the field. He had a massive heart attack as he was trying to wrangle some aggressive dogs. So the position became available of animal control. And to be honest with you, man, those 12-hour shifts in the jail and being spit at and all that, you know, I was done with the 12-hour shift. So the job became available. And the sheriff, at the time the department was under the sheriff's office, he tried out me and a couple other people, and he chose me to do the job. And just like a lot of folks, the training that I received, and I mean this with no shade, was here's a set of keys, and we think that's called a choke pole. And wow, there's a chuck, figure it out. So I've been doing it for approximately 14 years, and it was a lot of figuring out. Because to be honest with you, man, when I first started, I didn't know a whole lot about different training organizations. Now, this was back in the day. This was back when NACA still had four levels, you know, when they taught us how to trap velociraptors, and when Jeff Clemens would get up there that was about this tall with his, and that was a man's man. He runs through the woods and hunts a bear with no shirt on, you know.
But I've heard he also does some other stuff that, but we're not going to talk about that. Tell me, like, what's that impact moment, though? Like you said, you came into this without much of anything, right? Like, where was that impact moment that you were like, shit, I kind of like this job?
Well, to be honest with you, man, that started as a kid. I mean, growing up here in the South in a one red light town, we didn't have a lot to do. So when I was a kid, you know, I was out of the woods with the old have a heart traps, catching raccoons and possums and things of that nature, bringing stray animals home, and my dad, you know, that didn't work. But the impact moment for work was the first time I got run up on the hood of the truck. I was like, okay, that was an adrenaline rush, you know. I don't know, you know, the very first call you get, I think, where there's a dog that's in dire straits, you know, because it seems like all of us, we're always looking for our purpose. You know, what's our purpose? Here I am, you know, a young guy in my 20s. What's my purpose? You know, and I've got this dog out in the middle of nowhere, and it's scared to death of everybody. And you just sit on the ground for a couple hours, and then finally the dog comes to you, you know, and you gain its trust. And then at the time we contracted with another shelter, and you watch this dog just progress and put weight on, and you see this dog get a home. That was the impact moment that, you know, maybe this is the profession for me. I've always felt like I've had a servant's heart. I enjoy helping people. I really do. We all, you know, we all get on our little pity pot. poor, poor, pitiful me. You know, I hate this profession. But at the end of the day, unless you have a servant's heart, you're not going to stay in this profession. Because, yes, we're helping people, but we're also helping animals as well. But I think that was probably the impact moment, you know. And then my very first cruelty case I ever worked, because there was nobody working cases, you know. And I changed that dog's life. So I think that, you know, that those couple of instances were probably an impact that this is my calling, because I honestly feel like animal welfare in itself is not, it's a calling. Because people like you and I, and dude, as many years as we've got in it, you know, that we're a relic. People don't last as long as we've lasted.
What tip would you give, though? Because, I mean, it is true in that aspect as far as, like, the length. So if I'm a new officer listening right now, or somebody wanting to get into the job, what tip could you give them to make it for the longevity piece?
You just got to keep telling yourself that, you know, you're doing this for the greater good. I think that right there is the biggest thing, because we are our own worst enemies, our own worst critics.
Sure.
Don't criticize yourself. If you're doing the best that you can do, just keep doing, keep hustling, keep going at it, you know. Don't give up. I mean, navigating the animal humaniac fields or waters and all, it's a very troubled water. I think you would agree. And us as ACOs, we catch a lot of heat for that, you know, but you're going to get labeled a bad guy, but just remember, you're being the bad guy for the greater good. You're not looking out for yourself. You're looking out for that animal.
There was a friend of mine, well, at the time, a peer that was like my FTO. And I bet you he's changed, actually, and I should reach out to him. But he was that – not my dog. He warned me of bunny huggers is what he called them, right? And I didn't understand. I didn't understand what he meant. And what's interesting, Dustin, is – I've kind of, if you saw me from afar and didn't really know me, you might think I'm a bunny hugger, right? I'm vegan.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I help people. I help animals, etc. And I think that there's a balance between being compassionate, resourceful, and educational, and then just being a straight up advocate that goes crazy at any chance they get. I think there's a balance between that. Because, like, I think you, the story you just shared about you sitting on the ground waiting for that dog to come over to you, like, that takes compassion, right? You're allowed to have compassion in this field.
You have to have a lot of compassion, you know, and folks out there think that we don't. Dan, if I didn't have compassion, I would not step on a pair of boots every day and come and do this job.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not do it, but you've got to have compassion, you know, and like you said a while ago, the fine line between teetering the fine line between, you know, humaniacs and bunny huggers. Unfortunately, we have to learn how to talk both sides of it.
Absolutely.
But I personally do not feel like we should have to pick a side. You know, I don't feel like we should have to pick a side. I feel like us as ACOs, we're that line down the middle. We shouldn't have to pick a side, and you have to talk both sides of it. Yeah, I know I'm beating a dead horse there, and that's bad verbiage, but that's my country coming out.
At least it's already dead, though. You know, it's not.
Yeah, you know, exactly. At least it's already dead. But, you know, we shouldn't have to pick a side, you know. And, dude, we get, you know, I think one of the things that aggravates me the most in this profession, and I'm going to get on a soapbox, is a lot of the rescues, not all the rescues. A lot of the rescues. I think rescue is bad verbiage.
Yeah.
Advocate's better.
Okay.
I ask myself all the time when they say, well, I'm a rescuer, I rescued that dog. Well, did you stand out in the middle of traffic and dodge 18-wheelers? No. Did you run through that forest filled with brambles and briars? No. Did you go inside of that burning house? No. You didn't rescue anything. You advocated to pull that animal, but you didn't rescue it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I beat myself up all the time, Dan. I know that you do. And this profession, a lot of these bunny huggers, these fluffy lovers that we like to call them, you know, they make our job really hard.
Sometimes, yeah, for sure. I had a case once where I pulled up to a scene and one of those said bunny huggers was sitting in the grass with a baby raccoon between her legs while she had her two dogs off leash. And she was mad at me she got upset with me, Dustin, because I was like, hey, we have to impound the raccoon. We have to test it for rabies. And I was cool about it. I wasn't like, give me that freaking raccoon, bitch. Right? Like, there was none of that, bro. Like, it was like, hey, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but unfortunately, they're rabies vectors, and we have to make sure that you're safe and your pets are safe. And it's what's crazy is that situation, that person couldn't see it in the moment. Now, if that raccoon tested positive, I would have loved to have that conversation with that person, right? And say, like, okay, so here's exactly why. Thankfully, it tested negative, but it's still such a risk.
Yeah, dude, we dealt with a lot of that, man. We had a woman come in the office one time holding a raccoon. I mean, holding a fox, had it wrapped up in a towel, holding it like this, saying that she had found it and it was laying on the side of the road, and I screamed like a woman. She walked in with that thing holding it because she was riding around with this thing in the back seat of her car with a kid. And then I had to explain the whole rabies process to her, the fact that it's a vector, it's got to be tested. That particular animal tested positive, and having to
Wow.
call that mama, and having to call that mama and say, "Hey, you and your baby's been exposed to rabies virus." That's a rough call to make, man.
It's a rough call to make. Wow.
That is,
What's something
I
unique?
think.
What's something unique to down south, like, that may not happen, or we think may not, like, let's just go to the almost extreme opposites. Like, if the ACO is listening in Washington State, what do you think happens in your state or your locality that may not happen up northwest?
Oh dear God, dude. This is the Wild Wild West, man. I feel like a lot of those ACOs up in those northern states, Pacific Northwest and stuff, I'm not casting any shade. They deal with more pets. We don't deal with a lot of pets.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? There's a difference. And I had this conversation the other day when we were having some kennels built outside, and the guy was like, "Well, we're just building these kennels for pets." No, you're not. We deal with a lot of feral animals, a lot of feral dogs. Koi dogs, things of that nature, and down here in the South, that animal is just like that person's lawnmower, is property. You're
For
not going to
sure.
tell me what I can and can't do with my property. So that right there, and the amount of wildlife that
Yeah.
we deal with down here,
Yeah.
even though we're in a, right now we're in more in the city of center that I'm in, where my office is at, this would be considered, urban is still rural, very rural. So, you deal with a lot of the, I feel like we would deal with more livestock, more feral animals, and the ACOs in that part of the country deal with more pets.
You said, and some people might not even caught it. I caught it. You said koi dogs, which is a coyote dog cross. Do you get that
Yes.
shit a lot?
Yes, but we have that happen. We have koi dogs happen. South end of the county, there's feral dogs. Down here, like, we don't even have a containment law, brother. The state of Alabama has a containment law. Each and every county has to adopt it. So, there's no county ordinances. Trying to get ordinances inside of a county is a nightmare. But, these dogs just run loose, and over time, I mean, bro, I've been on calls before and have 20 feral dogs. We deal with, a lot of that. And another thing, the Pacific, Washington State, the heat, man. Like, we don't have, we have spring and hail. That's it. Spring and hail, and we're about to enter
Spring
hail.
in hell. You know,
Yeah.
it's funny, Dustin, and Dustin ain't ashamed to say he's a big guy. During the wintertime, he looks a little hefty, but come the end of summer, all that sweating going on, this man is in freaking top football shape over there. He's looking like a linebacker.
Yeah.
Tell me, just for fun, just for shits and giggles, bro, where do you think Alabama ranks on the animal protection laws for the ALDF, so the Animal Legal Defense Fund 2023 stats? Out of 50 states, where's Alabama?
I would say I would think that we rank very low, and not because we don't have good laws. We actually have pretty decent laws. We have some piss poor enforcement of those laws.
Well, they also, yeah, so where, but give me a number out of 50 states.
30.
Well, now these are ALDF, Animal Legal Defense Fund. This is their ranking. You are
Okay.
number 49. Out of 50, North Dakota is pulling up the rear here at 50.
Man, I thought Mississippi would be down there.
You know, Mississippi is actually way better than you thought. Mississippi is, where are you, Mississippi? let's do quick reading. 45. They're down there. They're not as way better. Number one, it's funny because we just talked about the Pacific Northwest. That's Oregon. And the state of Washington's 8. So there you go.
Well, you know, I think one of the things, too, that really affects it is here, you know, you're not required to have animal control or a shelter unless you have 5,000 citizens.
Wow. Wow.
Once you hit that 5,000 cap, you have to have your owner contribute.
Yeah.
To an animal shelter or animal control.
Really quick before we wrap it up, Bray, bro. And we got to get you back on for a full episode, but just for the ACO week, kind of short ones. You got a class you're teaching here at South. What is it? SACA.
SACA. SACA. That
stands for the
Southeastern Animal Control Association.
And you're doing some stuff on the small, what is the small unit? No, that's something else. The small town ACO.
No, that's something that I'm working on right now for a different class. I'm actually the whole Southeastern Animal Control Association conference is going to be based on dangerous dogs.
Got it. Okay.
We're going to have Doc Crosby. You know Doc. I know Doc. Dude knows Doc. Dude's going to come in, and they're all doing dangerous dog. I'm going to finish up with compassion fatigue, PTSD, and burnout, which we face a lot in this profession.
Sure. Sure.
So that's what I'm doing. But one of the things that I'm working on is, you know, navigating small town politics.
I love that. That's such a cool idea.
That's a nightmare because, you know, I'm in the trenches every day dealing with it. And, you know, we have a lot of Buford P. Justices. I'll let you look that up. You probably never watched Smokey and the Bandit.
No, no. But I know it sounds about – I mean, you know, I did watch Dukes of Hazzard, though.
Oh, well, Boss Hogg, right
yeah,
there.
We're, Boss Hogg. Mm-hmm. We're right I there. Feel like he drives around down there still in Alabama. He's, hey, boy, how you doing now?
Man, there's a guy at the gym that I work out at that drives a little S10 pickup truck, and he has he has a set of horns off of a bull on the front of that truck. It is the most epic raising hell, praising Dale, you thing you've ever seen. I mean, it's something else.
All right, I'm going to do quick five questions for you. You just whatever comes to your mind, you answer. Here's your choice. You can get a brand new Cybertruck, the new Tesla Cybertruck, brand spanking new, or a 1984 Dodge pickup, just two-door cab, extended bed with 250,000 miles on it.
Dodge pickup truck.
All right, here we go. Rotisserie chicken, or chicken fried steak?
Oh, chicken fried steak. That's an easy one.
Pepsi or Coke, bro?
Neither. I'm a Diet Coke person. I'm a fluffy boy. Mama always said the Diet Coke cancels the calories.
I love it. Two more. NFL or college football?
College football all the way, man.
Got it.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. And last one I'll leave you with here. These are off the cuff, man. I didn't write these down. We're just going. All right. Push mower or riding mower?
Oh, dude, you ain't never had swamp ass, so I'm going to say riding mower is a whole lot easier to deal with.
So swamp, that's that humidity down there, huh?
That is, yeah. It gets everywhere.
Oh, so, man. I'll take your word on it. Anything you want to say to the ACOs or people wanting to be ACOs or just people curious about ACOs before we wrap it up?
Well, to the ACOs, y'all keep up the hard work, keep up the good work. Remember, you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the greater good. For the people that want to get into animal control, run.
Run into it.
Find you a good place to get employed by that has some people that you can look up to.
Yeah.
And has a good training program.
Yeah. I would agree with that, 100%. 100%. Well, Dustin, this is always a joy, man. We got to get you back on for a full epi. Why don't we do that?
We've got to talk sometime another.
And thank you for taking the time for ACO Week. We'll get this aired up soon. And, yeah, man, keep it, as we like to say here, keep it humane and let's help people help animals.